and amen. I am absolutely impressed. I'm absolutely impressed by what you just presented. The instrumentation was phenomenally good. Thank you so much. The vocal work and the dancers and the motions. And I got to tell you, Brandy is awesome, isn't she? She's just awesome. Here is a young lady that can not only think clearly, she demonstrated that, can not only speak powerfully well, but she can do that and breathe after doing what she was doing over here. I'm telling you, we could market this as a cardiovascular event because it was so good. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for joining us for a time in the Word. You're going to need your Bible and your copy of Scripture, and you're going to need to find Ephesians chapter 4, and I'll give you a better reference in a moment. But while you're doing that, I get to tell you a story. I get to tell you a story about this past Wednesday evening. On this past Wednesday evening, I had a task that was given to me, and I was glad to take that task. It was to go to the cultural center of the universe, Walmart, and to go with my phone in hand. My wife and I have on our phone a little app called Bring. It's a neat app because wherever you are, if you think of something you need, you can put it on that app. And then whether I'm at the store or my sweet Debbie is at the store, you can look to see if they have bought it, because the moment you buy it, you touch it and it goes away. And so we really like it. And I had this Bring app ready to go. So I go into Walmart and I get the cart and I take my phone and I have it to where it will never close. This is kind of important in this story, so you'll know what I'm doing. It's set to where it's not going to close on me, because I'm going to put it right here in that little top tray of the cart, and everywhere I go, it'll be open, and I don't have to keep doing it over and over again, so everything's ready. So I go through, and I got news for you, and it's good news. I found everything on my list. Everything. I got to tell you, toilet paper is back. We're so happy. And paper towels. And I even got antibacterial wipes. I hit the jackpot. You know what I'm talking about? And I got to the very, to the next to the last place. I clicked it off. And I only had one more thing to do. And that was go to the deli and have some lunch meat cut for me. And so I went there. Everything's fine. And I got that, and I started toward the checkout lane. And I thought I heard my name. But you may not understand this, but a lot of people mess up my name. You know, you see that, and it says H-O-S-E-A-B-I-L-Y-E-U. How are you going to do that? And so I thought I heard my name, but I thought, I don't know if that's my name or not. But it made me stop to think. And I started looking, and my phone was gone. My phone was gone. I didn't feel good about that. I went back to the meat counter. I asked them, did I leave a phone here? No, you did not. I said, well, I thought maybe I heard my name. They said, if you did, it's at the service department. So, okay. I got a cart full of groceries. I go to checkout first because I don't want to go to the service department with the groceries because the bells might go off or something. I don't know. I just don't want to do that. So I go through the checkout lane. I go over to the counter. A young man there. I said, have you got a phone? He said, do you have a son named John? I said, as a matter of fact, I do. And I have a son named Will also. He said, well, this is your phone. Took the phone. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I'll be honest with you. I thought, I'm just going to keep this between me and God. I'm not going to tell my wife that her aging husband lost his phone at Walmart. Okay. Get in the car. Head back to the house. But I get just before you get to our house, you get to our daughter Robin's house. And there is my wife parked in the driveway. I'm thinking, she wasn't going anywhere. What's she doing? I pulled off to the side of the road. I dial her phone number while it's ringing. Our granddaughter Molly comes up. I roll the window down. She said, Mimi said, come back there. I thought, oh. But the phone was ringing. I talked to her and she said, where's your phone? I said, I'm talking on my phone. Well, here's what happened. Because I left that phone open, when they found it, the lady called my wife from my phone. Busted. She called my wife and she said, think maybe somebody lost this phone. And my wife saw the caller ID. It was my name, Hosey Blue. And she then began to be concerned. Why was the phone open? She didn't understand that I'd left it open. Why was the phone open? And I think it went from there to maybe somebody kidnapped him and took him away from Walmart. And so by the time I got to her, one of my daughters said on a scale of 1 to 10, she was at a 13. She was just really worried about me, and I so much appreciate that. Now, I tell that story because I got two things that I learned from it. You ought to learn from everything, right? So I got two things that I learned from it. Number one, be sure your sins will find you out. So let's just mark that one down. But the second one is what I taught on last Sunday. And I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to tell you something. What I taught last week was the first of God's house rules, and here it is. Always think well of others. And here's what I learned Wednesday night. It's not always easy for a wife to think well of her husband when he's done something somewhat on the foolish end of things or in a number of other things. And isn't it true? I promise you this, if there is one person under the sound of my voice that has sought this last week to always think well of others, you can rest assured you found something out. It's not easy. In fact, may I say this? It needs the gospel in order for you to do it. It needs grace in order for you to do it. There's a danger to these house rules that you may think, hey, I can do this on my own. I can handle this job all by myself. You can't, I can't, we can't. If we're going to always think well of others, then we're going to have to realize that God and God alone, through the power of His Holy Spirit, can make that possible. But the good news is law demands and grace enables. Law demands and the gospel sets you free to do what you could not do otherwise. So house rule number one was indeed always think well of others. Now that takes us to our text for today. And the text to our day is, as I said a moment ago, out of Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read beginning with verse number 25 in Ephesians chapter 4. Remember, I said last week, and I'm going to say it again this week, that it is precisely when God rules that our relationships are right. Relationships are best when God rules. And again, we're back to the gospel again. We're back to making the choice to make Jesus both the Savior and Lord of our life. Okay, here we go. You ready? Verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. I'll come back to that next week. Verse 30 really ends that. Now, before you lay your Bible down or put your scripture away, I want to focus your attention with me on one verse for just a little while. And that verse is verse number 29. Here it is. Let no, everybody say no. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Listen to that. Listen to that. You see, in today's message, Paul is speaking to Christians. And I have this strong and heavy burden on my heart today. Friend, we in our country are in trouble. We're in trouble. Across the land, Trouble is in every city and on every street, it would appear. We're in trouble. And it's not only the virus, but now it's the issues that have been raised over the past few weeks as it relates to race and as it relates to law enforcement, all of those things. We are in trouble. And have you noticed? Things are getting loud. People are speaking, oftentimes before they think, and they're putting it on social media, and it's there forever, and you can't take it back. We're in trouble. And I will tell you that what I am sharing with you last Sunday and this Sunday and next Sunday, I believe with all of my heart, could change things in our country and in our churches and in our lives. Folks, I want you to know that it's a burden of my heart that the people of God should be different from the world. That whatever is happening that is creating more fire, whatever that is happening that is creating more problems, that ought not to be generated by the people of God. And you practice and you learn to always think well of others. Now listen, I understand that doesn't mean you think well of their behaviors. I'm not saying that. But can I tell you, every person on the planet was created in the image of God. And it may be indeed defaced and it may be twisted, but there is something of God in them. You remember your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even on the cross, and even about the people who nailed Him there and pierced His side, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Was their behavior right? No. But they are still precious in the sight of God. Jesus would say, "Blessed are you when you're persecuted, when people say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets who were before you." See, we must not live reactively. We must not live always throwing back what somebody throws at us. No, we are called to be different. And it's to that that I want us to look today. Now you'll notice in verse number 29, and I told you it's the focus verse, I want just to show you in that verse a couple of things, but they're very, very important. It begins again with these words, "Let no corrupt." Let me pause there. That word corrupt, you need to think for a moment about what it means when the Bible says corrupt. It pictures something that was once good, but it is something that is now decaying, and because it's decaying, it's good for nothing. It is putrefying. It is rotten. And yes, it stinks. It's kind of like going to your refrigerator and you go back to that one thing in the very back of it and you pull it out and it expired 4 years ago and you pop the top on it and you almost can't tell what it was supposed to be and it stinks. Even after being in the refrigerator, it is corrupt. It is corrupt. And so here's what Paul's saying: let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And I want to tell you that even in the church, in this generation and in this time, there are those indulging in corrupt communication. There are those who are chewing on and chewing out and chewing up other Christians. And that may have to do with anything from wearing or not wearing masks to observing social distancing or not observing social distancing. And I'm not here to say what's right and what's wrong. If you see me out, you will usually see me with the mask. Why? Because it doesn't hurt me and it may help you. I just am not concerned about it. But what I am concerned about is when people who name the name of Jesus Christ are ugly about things that are not of the gospel at all and do not exhibit the grace of God. Let no corrupt communication. I fear in the church, if we're not careful, we'll become cannibal Christians. eating up one another. And Paul spoke about that in Galatians 5:16. If you bite and devour one another, beware lest you also consume one another. Let it be said of the members of Southgate Baptist Church that no corrupt communication is proceeding out of their mouth. Not any at all. No corrupt communication. I'm going to say it this way. If you're a note taker, you can write it down. And I don't even know if what I'm going to use is a word, so bear with me. But here's what I want to say to you. Don't speak corruptingly. Don't speak corruptingly. Make it a decision of your mind. Paul said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now that's the negative, and it's so very clear. We can use worthless words, words that diminish, words that demean, words that destroy other people, and we can do it because we say, we're right and they're wrong. But I will remind you again of what James MacDonald said. You can be right, but if you're wrong in the way that you're wrong even if you're right. And that would be worth remembering, my brothers and sisters in Christ. You can be right, but if you're wrong in the way that you are right, you're wrong even if you're right. And there's a lot of people that are right, but they're wrong about the way that they're right. And I'm not even sure which side of the right and wrong we are on much of the time. It's complicated. Don't speak corruptingly. Now the positive. You ready? It's still there in verse 29, so hopefully you have your Bible open. Here's what he says. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Here it is. But what is good for necessary edification, which means building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In my time with the Father this morning, spending time slowly listening for the voice of God in His Word. Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 24, spoke to my heart this morning. Spoke to my heart about our need. And it spoke about gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Oh, listen to that. Gracious words are like a honeycomb. Sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Here's what I believe with all my heart. When I speak words of grace to you and to others, when I speak words of grace to those who, like me, don't deserve grace, we deserve judgment. When I speak words of grace, it is absolutely good for me as well as them. It's good for my soul. It's good for my body. You'll live more healthy if you learn to impart grace. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Do not speak corruptingly. But then Paul said, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. There's an acronym that I have used through the years. I don't know who developed it, but it's an acronym based on the word think. I'm going to give it to you, and if you're a note taker, write it down. You that are home, write this down. It could make a difference in your home, in your marriage, in your friendships, in your work, and yes, in the church. The word think. Are you ready? Before you say anything, pass it through this grid. Number one, is it true? That's the T. That's the T on the word think. Is it true? Now, by the way, if it's not, be quiet. Now, that stops you right there. You don't go any further. And can I say one other thing to gullible Christians? And I can be one of them. So hear me when I say this. Everything on the internet is not true. Can I get an amen? No, it's not. And so I get things that are repeated for years. And every time I see them, I think, that's not true. That's not true. And if I ever respond to one of them, my son Will sends me a text and says, Dad, that's not true. You know. So the T is for, is it true? Pass it through that filter. Number two, you ready? Is it helpful? That's the H. You see, there's a lot of things that's true, but if you spoke them, they wouldn't be helpful. And then number three, the I. Is it inspiring? You know what that means. It means, does it cause that person to want to do better and to lift them up? Or does it make them feel ashamed and put them down? Is it inspiring? And you can say what needs to be said in such a way as to be either inspiring or demeaning. And then the N. Oh, listen to me, church. Oh, listen to me, culture. Not only is it true, not only is it helpful, not only is it inspiring, but number four, is it necessary? How many times we say things that just aren't necessary? And I want to say something to husbands and wives right now. Don't play the Holy Spirit in your spouse's life. Don't feel like when they say something and you think they said it wrong, or they did something, you think they did it wrong, it's your responsibility to confront them. You were wrong. Repent. I would not advise that in your home. Let the Holy Spirit do that work. And He does it very well. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And this last one, precious to me, is it kind? Is it kind? Now you put those five into place and it'll make a lot of things that you started to say die before they ever reach your lips. So, don't speak what? Corruptingly. But number two, do speak constructively. Don't speak corruptingly. Do speak constructively. Biblical words build people up. Faith words build people up. Visionary words build people up. Encouraging words build people up. Helpful words build people up. And I need those. And sometimes I need correcting words, but they must be spoken in love. You must love me first and correct me second. Don't get that in the other order. Do not speak corruptingly. Don't speak corruptingly. But secondly, do speak constructively. Now, I've still not given you the second of the rules. The first one, hopefully you remember, always think well of others. By the way, I meant to give you this verse last week. I'm going to do it right now. Always think well of others. You say, is that possible? By the power of the Holy Spirit it is. Let me read you from Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, listen, meditate on these things. Paul could not say that if it were not possible through the power of grace, through the power of the gospel, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Always think well of others. Practice it today and practice it this week. And you can do this through Christ. You can do all things through Christ. And then today's lesson, always speak well of others. I'm going to pause to simply say this. Even if those two were put in place, the situation in our country would change radically today. And I do not expect that to happen from those outside of the faith. For those who deny the authority and the legitimacy of God's Word, for those who care nothing for Jesus Christ, do not believe in Him, then I have no expectation of how they're going to live their life. But I have an expectation of myself and of you who are children of God. that you would think well of others, that you would speak well of others. One final word to husbands, speak well of your wife when she's not around. It'll get back to her. Just wait till she comes up to some of her friends and they say, your husband was bragging on you today. I'm telling you, you'll get a better welcome when you come home because you have been wise and spoken well of your wife. Always think well of others. Always act well toward others. Relationships are best when God rules. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, while I can say with full assurance that we are in trouble, I can also say there is hope. And Father, I do not think it improper to say that the hope is found in Jesus Christ and His people. Father, if every professing believer in Christ, regardless of their political party, regardless of their opinion on certain issues, if they would simply begin to behave Christianly, if they would simply begin to do the things that please you, proactively thinking well of others and acting and speaking well also. Help, Lord. Help, Lord. I love your church, and I want to see your church filled with people in right relationship. And relationships are best, Father, when you rule. Do it, Lord. Your kingdom come in our hearts. Your kingdom come in our homes. Your kingdom come in the church of Jesus Christ. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.